Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have had a tremendous time at Smoke Daddy. We are already putting together a proposal we are going to submit to Entercom leadership to do every Bernstein and McKnight show from Smoke Daddy.
Every single one of them.
If possible, because there's really no reason not to, thanks to everybody for here for their hospitality to this point. We talked plenty of baseball, talked about the resumption of the season, the injury to Brandon Morrow. We had Len Casper on site. We talked football with Hub Arkush as well.
So for the better part of 4 months, Dan, I have been swinging the sword around for the Orioles. I have been wondering about their leadership. I had been wondering about their direction, and they've been doing the same from all different corners of their front offices because they couldn't really figure out what the hell they were up to. They've traded Manny Machado and, from all accounts, got a decent enough return for 2.5 months of one of baseball's elite and young players. So I'll lay down the sword. I'm good now. And here's why. There's a couple of different reasons, right? I'm not doing this because anybody told me to. I'm not doing this because I want to. I'm doing it because you've got some evidence on one side or the other. Still think they should have done this earlier. Still think you had opportunities to do it. And I still think some of the excuses that have come out from the conversations around that trade market, well, we couldn't get things nailed down, or we didn't have offers that we liked in the offseason, not buying that as much as they'd like to sell it. But Jim Bowden, who writes for The Athletic and covers prospects really, really well, writes this. The Dodgers deserve the most credit for investing their money in scouting, international talent, the amateur draft, and player development. That allowed them to make a deal of this magnitude without giving up arguably any of their top four prospects.
Organizational depth matters.
Yep. The Dodgers did trade a significant prospect package to get Machado, but they could afford to because of how well they'd done in building one of the game's best farm systems. Okay, remember that. One of the game's best farm systems netted you a 26-year-old Manny Machado who's playing at his prime, right? Top-level stuff. Where have the Orioles been in terms of farm system lately? Where have they been in terms of international spending lately? Where have they been in terms of institutional depth? Nowhere,
the
right?
Answer is at least 10 years behind their next closest rival.
This from Brittany Grioli, who covers the Orioles for MLB.com and who was on the show a couple of months ago. And she wrote what Duquette said, what Dan Duquette, the general manager there, said. Duquette says the Orioles will revamp international scouting, pro scouting, and analytics. Time to devote resources to international market and other avenues to succeed.
Where have you been?
Congratulations. Well done. Welcome to 2004. Like, great. Good for you. The fact that it took trading Manny Machado, giving up on that guy, to understand that this is what needs to be done is abhorrent. It's appalling. But welcome to baseball.
Bernstein McKnight brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, who are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now. Receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. So some statistical-oriented Twitter feeds were having dueling bits of information. Check this out.
Okay.
Joey Votto has 6,563 career plate appearances. This is posted by Ryan Spader. At the ace of Spader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about that. 6,500 plate appearances for Joey Votto. He has never popped out
what?
To the catcher, pitcher, or first baseman.
He's left-handed. How can you? He's never.
I'm gonna read you this again. I told you what your reaction would be.
I'm thinking of all the ways. I'm literally thinking of all the ways that, to prove you wrong. That's all I can think
6,563 plate appearances. Joey Votto has never popped out to the catcher, pitcher, or first baseman.
I'll take it at its face. I mean, I assume.
True.
No. Here's
stats
the thing.
Lie.
He could have.
You don't
see,
get to take it or not take it.
But less is right.
Stats
he could have popped
lie.
Out behind home plate and the third baseman come in to get it. He could have popped out to over to first and the second baseman ranges over to you. So the areas are something to talk about.
Okay.
But it's worth noting that, believe me, with pitcher, catcher, and those guys are dudes that settle under pop flies. They get, by and large, the easy ones. He doesn't hit the easy ones.
I have more. This is from at MLB Random Stats. Joey Votto pop-ups by year. This is any kind of pop-up. Okay?
Okay.
2010, zero. 2011, one. 2012, one. 2013, one. 2014, one. 2015, a scandal, two.
Come on.
2016, zero. 2017, one. 2018 so far? Guess
seven.
How many pop-ups he has?
Seven.
Zero.
My God.
So, since 2010, Joey Votto has popped up seven times. With the same amount of plate appearances, how many times would the average MLB player have popped up? Not replacement-level player.
Yeah, the average.
The average major leaguer. The average major league player, how many times would he have popped up in the same number of plate appearances?
It's got to be like 100, right?
127.
My God.
He has seven pop-ups since 2010.
But people in Cincinnati want him to swing more. He's walking too much. Drive in more runs, Joey.
All I can tell you is that everything that I just told you is real and true.
The Eno Saris does some good coverage of the major leagues for The Athletic, and he's got an article out that I will parse through here in the midday midway. The headline reads, roster requirements sorting through the buy low bats. And it's more of a fantasy angle. It's not that these bats would necessarily be on sale in the major league trade deadline, but, you know, if you're looking for guys to perhaps pick up. And Anthony Rizzo is a name that features on this list, right?
Okay.
Guys who have struggled through the first half. Bryce Harper is on this list. Gary Sanchez. Oof. Jackie Bradley Jr. is on this list. And so is Carlos Santana of the Phillies. Here's what he writes up for Anthony Rizzo. And I found this pretty interesting and perhaps indicative of bounce back for the Cubs first baseman. Hitting the ball hard is not the problem. Rizzo's yearly average exit velocity is the best of his career so far. The problem so far is where he's hitting the ball, especially recently. He's having trouble lifting the ball. Maybe it's because he's swinging at more back foot breaking balls this year than he did last year. The nice thing here is that the exit velocity says he's healthy, and the strikeout and contact rates are the best of his career. I'd actually bet, this is Eno writing, I'd actually bet on a good batting average from a player with this kind of problem, and a good batting average on that Cubs team should produce a lot of RBI. And 827 OPS is not quite what we've come to expect from Rizzo, but it's also worth trying to acquire, in other words. And again, that's talking about the fantasy aspect of the game, because I'm sure the Cubs do not have Anthony Rizzo on the trade block.
I don't know if you saw, there were a couple of kids off of New York's Fire Island who were attacked by what was believed to be a shark.
No, I did
not see
this. In
shallow water, but they were not sure, off of Islip, New York. Now, officials have confirmed that one of two children bitten in the leg was indeed bitten by a shark.
Wow.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation says a tooth fragment removed from a 13-year-old boy's leg is consistent with a shark's tooth, but they could not determine what species of shark due to the tooth's condition. Obviously, people who follow these things know probably a bull shark, because most of these things, it's almost always a bull shark.
Kids are okay, right? They didn't
kids
drown
are fine.
Anything?
Now,
okay.
Here's the thing. So the kids were bitten on Wednesday, and they temporarily closed the beaches. You know, you're thinking Amity Island and the argument with the mayor about closing. Murray Hamilton, I think, is actor's name. The children are expected to fully recover. If you're a 13-year-old boy, and as the father of a 13-year-old boy, how cool does he get to be?
So cool.
Not only, like, bitten by a shark, a shark tooth was left in his leg. He's fine, but now he's got the scar. He's Shark Boy forever. This guy shows up at school. He shows up for the first day of eighth grade as kid that survived shark attack, that had shark tooth in his leg.
That dude is a pimp on the recess playground.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Right. I mean, that's...
Everybody's going to want to talk to him.
He's Shark Man.
Does he have the tooth?
I would hope.
You got to string that on a necklace,
don't
right?
You?
Like Rambo?
Yeah, don't you have to... Doesn't have that have to be your badge of honor?
Absolutely.
Right there? I mean, it's like, what'd you do over the summer? Not much. Just survived a shark attack. What did you do? Chase frogs in the woods?
Cool.
Yeah.
Real cool.
Yeah, that's real cool. All right. Yeah. What did you do? Play travel soccer? Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, I survived a shark attack.
So I have for you one of the most Big Ten headlines I've seen in quite some time. When you think of the Big Ten, X's and O's wise, on the field, you know, scandals aside and some of the issues that league has had, you think of pro-style offenses, right? You think of outside of Ohio State's Urban Meyer, you think of, you know, a bunch of pro-style offenses with quarterbacks under centers, good running games, and if you find a wide receiver, maybe you've got a chance to take down Michigan or Ohio State and win yourself a division. Well, the preseason awards lists are out. So all kinds of guys are getting placed on names, placed on lists, all this kind of good stuff. And I saw that the University of Iowa, Kirk Ferentz's University of Iowa team, they have not one, but two tight ends named to the Mackey Award preseason list.
Boy.
The mere fact that that offense has two tight ends that are going to be employed enough to be on a preseason award list is one of the most Big Ten things you can think of. I could not help but chuckle when I saw this thing. Because I name another offense. I'm sure there are some. Over the almost 200 Division I schools. Name other offenses. Stanford, they're going to roll out tight ends enough, often enough, two of them, to get placed on a list like that. Wisconsin might. Like, the list is very slim.
If you try to think, Michigan always tends to have a tight end prospect in there.
A tight end prospect. Yeah. Kirk has two tight end prospects that are going to be on that field.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You're right. That is the Big Ten-iest of all Big Ten.
Very Big Ten.
And that has been your Midday Midway. It's been brought to you by Erin Hills Golf Course in southeast Wisconsin, host of the 2017 U.S. Open. Follow in the footsteps of the game's best players for day trips or overnight getaways. Make Erin Hills your next golf destination. Play, stay, eat, and meet. Business or pleasure, erinhills.com, E-R-I-N Hills. com. And special thanks to our Bank of America partner, Maui Jim. Maui Jim sunglasses were born on the beaches of Hawaii, designed to respond to the bright sun and harsh glare of the islands with polarized +2 lens technology. MauiJim.com. The view is better from here. In just a few minutes, Kyle Hendricks is going to join us.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so he's hanging out. He didn't have anything to do. He pitched yesterday, and he's over at the ballpark. They're going to wait through a bunch of likely rain issues today. We're currently raining, but it looks like this first wave is going to move through. So we'll talk to him about last night. We'll talk to him about the Cubs and the rotation, the defense, about everything that's going on. Also, in just a moment, when we come back, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the second Cubs On Deck luncheon of the season featuring Wilson Contreras and Mike Montgomery. It's Monday right across the street here at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. And you have to be listening if you want to win that opportunity. So keep it here for that and for Kyle Hendricks on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Cubs get the win last night. It was sort of a strange game, some back and forth stuff going on and some untidiness to the affair, but a win is a win. Right now, be caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. You win a pair of tickets to our second Cubs On Deck luncheon of the season featuring Wilson Contreras and Mike Montgomery. It's Monday, July 23rd at the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. Tickets are on sale now at 670thescore.com/ondeck. Brought to you by AZEK Building Supply and by Xfinity. Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs joins us now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Kyle, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Wonderfully, wonderfully. Thanks for taking some time out today. I wanted to ask you, you know, the start prior to the All-Star break was a real solid one for you. And leading up to that, you've been talking a lot about your mechanics and how close you felt to getting things to click. And I've always been really impressed reading your quotes about your own mechanics and hearing them here on the station. I was wondering when at a point in your development did you feel as though you understood what you needed to do? So many guys search for mechanics for a long time to find the right ones. When did you find your way to what you need to do and get so confident in talking about how you need to be?
Yeah, I think it's something I've always been focused on, I would say, ever since college. You know, I really started trying to understand what I did and just what my motion was like, what made me good. So year in and year out, I guess, you learn more about yourself, you know. And now at this point, a few years into the big leagues, you have all these resources around you. So they're all helping you, too. Looking at video, we got guys in the video room giving me stuff all the time. So when you couple that with kind of what you feel and your knowledge, through the years of experience, you're kind of able to figure out, you know, what the answer is going to be or kind of what's going wrong. And yeah, for about, I would say 3 or 4 weeks there, I was maybe searching. I was searching, couldn't find the right thing to help me. But then it did start to click. You know, that Giants start really locked in about the third inning for me. And I have been feeling really good since then. Even the start yesterday, actually, felt like I made a lot of good pitches. It was just more of a battle. You know, I got to get quicker outs, be more aggressive in the zone early in the count. But other than that, I really felt like I just gave up the solo home run. Was a bad pitch to Sam. But other than that, you know, the run in the first inning was bad contact to Ozuna. And then the one in the fifth was just a ground ball that found the hole from Wong. So, you know, it was a battle for sure. I got to get quicker outs. But overall, I feel good with the action of my pitches and where everything's at going forward.
I heard you say that it was a bad pitch to Pham, and I've watched it over and over again, and I could see a little bit of hang, a little bit of the amount of time it was in the zone, but the late tail on it looked good. Like, had he taken it, it might have been a ball. I know he got it way out in front and just kind of jumped on it, and I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. You're the pitcher, but it didn't look like it was that big a mistake unless you just wanted it in a completely different place.
Yeah, it did kind of tail on me, you know. It went down and in, which is something he really stays on and hits. It was a pitch that was really supposed to end up away, kind of cutting away from him. So yeah, the action of the pitch didn't really match up with what I was trying to do. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it's something into the game plan really that he does well. So it was something I was trying to stay away from and just happened to make a bad pitch there, and he capitalized. Obviously, you still have to be a good hitter and stay on that pitch and capitalize on it, which he did.
You mentioned that your start was a little bit of a battle, that you're looking for quicker outs. I wonder if that's maybe in a little way how the first half has felt for the rotation as a whole. You guys have dealt with injuries. You've had Mike Montgomery step in and make some really solid starts when you guys were missing Yu Darvish, or as you guys have been missing Yu Darvish. There's a lot of talent on paper in this rotation, and yet performances, whether it be, you know, via length or just pure strikeout numbers, I guess, have been a little up and down. Has it felt a bit like a slog? Has it felt a little bit like you've had to fight against some things?
Definitely. I think it's definitely been an up and down year for most of the rotation. Lester's really been the stalwart for us. He's been our horse. Just so consistent. The year he's having has been unbelievable. So we're really trying to just feed off him and gain some momentum. And yeah, you know, you'll have a couple good starts, a couple bad starts, and that's kind of how it's been for all of us, me, Chatwood, Quintana. Ever since Montgomery came in the rotation, he's been unbelievable. He's picked up huge innings for us. But I think it just goes to show, you know, we haven't hit our stride yet, and we're not really where we want to be as a rotation. But what the rest of this team is doing to put us in the position we're in right now is unbelievable. Where the bullpen's been the whole year, just picking everybody up, and the lineup just top to bottom, man. It's just been so fun to watch, passing on to the next guy, taking whatever the other team's giving you, not really relying on the home run. Guys are just really playing the game well right now.
By multiple objective measures, the Cubs are the best defensive team in baseball. And for a pitching staff that has underachieved so far, it's been a necessity more than it's been a luxury. You know, you mentioned Lester. Looking at his hard contact rate and looking at his strikeouts down, he has really benefited. His overall results have benefited from this terrific defense. That you're always obviously trying to miss bats, and you're trying to make sure that this defense isn't required to be great for the Cubs to be good. But over time, does it affect the way you may say, all right, I don't have to be worried. As long as I can keep the ball in the park, I don't have to be worried about a guy maybe putting a bat to the ball right here. Contact isn't going to kill me. Is that something that you say, if you guys are just going to keep picking up the ball, we're going to keep letting you do it?
Definitely. I think it's something we all think about. We all realize how good we've been out in the field. And I think it goes to when you get late in account, maybe deep into account, you're more willing to give into a guy, throw some over the plate rather than, you know, really be a stickler and kind of still pitch out of the zone. You're more willing to throw strikes, keep it in the zone, because we know really anything in play has a chance to get caught. And it's just such a luxury we have here, and it's something we really relied on in 16 in that season. That was huge for us. So it's really good to see where we're at with that. But like you said, if we can pick up what we're doing and get that soft contact and make these plays even easier, that's when this whole thing rolls.
Kyle Hendricks here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I want to ask you about Kyle Schwarber to that degree, to playing defense a little bit. If we're being honest, Kyle, I think, you know, that first game we saw some of the struggles Kyle may have in the outfield, and since then he has become such a better outfielder. I pitched a little bit, which is to say I know what it's like to let one go and then watch it sail over a fence. You let one go and know that it's going to left if Kyle's out there. How has your feeling changed when something goes out to left, when Schwarber's out there? I have to imagine that the confidence there has grown some. I wonder how irpy it was when it started.
Yeah, the confidence has grown tremendously from everyone on this team. But, you know, it's what he does. It's what he does when nobody's watching. He puts in the work out there, and he had never really played in the outfield. So what were you to expect? You know, at first he was just trying the best he could. Now he's gotten the reps under his belt, especially the game reps. You can see just how quick he's picked it up, which is pretty amazing. So, yeah, you really think nothing of it now. Any ball hit and play to any of the guys, there really is no deficiency anywhere. And it really just shows how much work these guys put in work every single day out there in the infield and the outfield, getting reps. And it just pays off so much in the game, as you can see.
What's it like pitching to Caratini? I know we haven't had a lot of those opportunities. We've had some churn in the backup catcher position. How are you settling in there with him understanding your sting?
Yeah, I love Caratini, man. He's a great receiver, gives you a great target. And he works so well with the pitching staff, really every guy. Super personal. He knows the report really well, and in between innings, he'll come up to you and talk what he thinks you're doing well. Really works through the game with you so well. And even in-game adjustments, he has really good feel of the hitters. I think he's really picked up a lot with what little time he's kind of had behind the plate for us. So, it's so nice to when you're able to go from Wilson, who's so good back there, to Caratini, who really there's no breakdown at all in the catching. And it's just a huge luxury again for us to have.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the report and knowing the report. And I know how much work goes into that and how significant it can be to know someone's tendencies. Like you mentioned with Tommy Pham, the kind of pitch that he tends to be able to jump on. Yet, there's the high variance in baseball that some nights, some guys are not necessarily going to be themselves, and you can look at a previous swing or a previous at-bat and say, you know, maybe we're going to deviate a little bit. How much latitude do you have in the moment to understand that, the report notwithstanding, you might get a sense of something that's going to go off script?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of games are won and lost, honestly. You go in with a game plan. The other team may know you really well. You know them, all the video that's here, the information these days. But once you get into a game, you have to realize what you have and what the other team, what they're trying to adjust to you. And then if you can make those adjustments just a little bit quicker than they are, I think that's how you win ball games. So that's how you have to stay on point with your catcher and keep talking about it, try and realize what kind of swings they're putting on balls, and if you're falling into any tendencies, that's really where your focus has to be when you're out on the mound, like I said, because those small adjustments are what win and lose games.
To that end, Kyle, how has your work with Jim Hickey changed between March 30th, your first start of the year against the Marlins, up until last night? In what way has it changed the most? Have you figured out how to work together best?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot closer, I would say, since that game. You know, he came in, and I think he just was pretty quiet. I think he wanted to learn everyone and what they did good and kind of what their cues, what their clicks were. And now, you know, more than halfway through the year, obviously, he is putting in much more input, I would say. He has a really good feel for me personally, whether I'm in the bullpen or even during a game. If something's just a little off or he sees something, you know, not quite right, he just knows kind of, real simply, how to phrase it to me. Hey, you know, just check this out. What do you think? Do you think you might be doing this a little bit? And it's become a much better relationship. I think he's just more willing to give me, you know, what he's thinking and his knowledge. He's really smart, very observant, and you know, it's not a cookie cutter approach. He's really good at realizing what each guy does well and what their cues are and being able to get them back into being good whenever it starts to deviate.
We are talking with Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score. I've done a lot of reading. I'm sure you've read everything I've read about it and more, about the new science of increasing velocity, whether it's high school pitchers, youth pitchers, or even established major leaguers, guys like Charlie Morton, some of these other guys, reading about driveline and where actual science meets sort of voodoo and silliness. And I don't know the answer to some of this stuff, but I know a lot of your contemporaries, of your counterparts, believe in it and really believe that they can find 1, 2, 3 miles an hour of velocity. Is this something you've researched? Is it something you've considered, or do you dismiss a lot of this as pure quackery?
Yeah, I would. I don't go either way with it, honestly. I don't look too much into it. I do know that a lot of guys look at that stuff throughout the game, and a lot of guys, it could help their game possibly. I think just for me in particular, I really don't focus on the velocity or trying to increase my velocity. I'm more, you know, movement and location kind of guy. So I think there's a lot rooted in there that could be useful, though. You know, with so much science and information there is today, and it's so reliable now, I definitely think it could be used to your advantage if that's what you're looking for in your game. But like I said, for me, it's really just about making sure my pitches are moving the right way, getting the right depth on them, creating angle with it, and hitting my spots command-wise. If I have that, then really whatever velocity I'm at, it is going to be effective for me. So moving forward, though, I'm sure much more will keep coming out about this stuff, and it's just going to be more and more prevalent, I think, throughout the game.
Kyle, did you get to unplug it all during the All-Star break? I know it was a little shortened for you guys and the Cardinals, but you get to check back some and maybe turn your brain off for a minute?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were out on the West Coast, so we made the trip. I came back to Chicago, and it was shorter a little bit for us, you know, by one day, but All-Star break is always super nice, just to get a couple days away, you know, not watch any baseball, hang out with family for a couple days and just clear your mind. And you really get excited, honestly, to come back to the ballpark. Even after a couple days, you're ready to go, and this is what you love to do. You love being here. So even a couple days off, really, you start getting the itch again.
Well, what's your go-to mind clearer? Is it video games? Is it a couple of beers? Is it fishing, golf? What is it for that pushes a reset button for you?
Yeah, I'll play a little golf. Maybe I'll get out, or I'll go down to the beach, go out to the lake here, or really just hang out with family. If I hang out with family, you know, that really takes my mind off it. It's just super comfortable. You're just doing what you normally do, what you've been growing up doing, and I'm lucky enough to have some family in the area. So just getting together for barbecues, you know, really having no agenda, not having to be anywhere at any time. That's really how I get away.
Easy enough. Well, good luck in the second half, and thanks for having time for us today.
Cool. Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
That's Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs.
The only Cub I've ever been confused for.
Seriously?
Yeah, the only Cub I've ever been confused for.
Really? Not Leon Durham?
No, no. Leon and I don't look enough alike. The frame of building. What I was down getting a coffee at one of the local places down here on Southport as I was covering the 2015 series against the Mets here in town.
You don't look anything like
him. No, I don't. But if I'm going to be confused for anybody on that 2015 team, it's going to be Kyle Hendricks by, you know, random coffee barista, right? So I'm up at the counter, and I'm being, and like, what are you up to today? You know, she's being very, very nice. And I said, well, I'm headed down to the ballpark. She said, well, what for? I said, oh, for work, actually. And the guy who's pouring the coffee at the desk or whatever turns slowly around, looks me dead in the eye, and goes, are you Kyle Hendricks? And I go,
No,
I'm not. I took my coffee and went to the ballpark.
When we come back, we've got a chance for you to win $1,000 cash. This kind of thing could not be easier. All it is a text keyword, and if you're the lucky texter, you can start your weekend with $1,000 more than you had before. So be listening for that keyword. It is coming up next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's that time again. It could be a very lucky time for you if you are lucky enough as a texter. Your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is face. Text face to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is face to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Having a lovely time out here at Smoke Daddy as the weather has decided to spit a little rain here in the next couple minutes of this afternoon or into the afternoon, but I think we'll probably still have a ball game today. They've got to play it.
Yeah, I think
they really don't have many choices.
I think there could be multiple stoppages, and I was talking here with Doug at Smoke Daddy. This is one of these days where you want to set yourself up a little staging area right here, and you can make before the game, after the game. This is it's really the place to be, and there are people already in their cups starting out. Really?
Why wouldn't you be?
I guess, again, I'm not a day drinker. I'm bad at it. I've never been good at it.
There are ways we could teach you to day. It's one of my strengths. It's one of my very few strengths, day drinking.
I've tried it a couple times. I've failed at it almost every time I've tried.
Is it the ordinance?
I don't know.
Are you perhaps imbibing the wrong quantity?
No, I get sleepy. Everybody
gets sleepy.
So you fight through the sleepy?
You just got to fight through
it. And then there's a matter of you have to actually maintain a certain caloric intake.
Oh, yeah, you got to put down a base. There's nothing more important
that's
in
part of the appeal.
Put down a proper base. Okay. It really is. And then also applying the coffee at the right time during the day. For me, there is at some point, and it varies.
Is there Irish whiskey in the coffee,
there's
though?
No. Okay. So you made that mistake once. You only make it once. You got to have that pure, unadulterated caffeine rush at some point. You don't go the Four Loko route or the Bailey's in the coffee or the whiskey in the coffee.
I can't believe
the whiskey
you,
in the jar.
You invoked Four Loko?
Oh, yeah. I went to college between 2003 and 2007.
Okay, so I guess that you came by it honestly.
I mean, that was legit. It started then. I tried one once and saw it as a thing that was going to throw me off walls and gave it up. No thank you. Well, nothing to do with that. There's only danger in that cup.
I think it's you and, busted out NBA prospects. That was pretty much their entire market there. But Smoke Daddy's a place to be. If you haven't tried the smoked corned beef, that was a new one.
It's gorgeous.
And the way they did it for breakfast was with a pair of very easy, super easy, with a very runny yolk that dripped in between the crevices of the smoked corned beef. And I'm romanticizing it in its recent memory, what's left of the cornbread.
Which is not much.
Over there.
Not much.
This segment brought to you by Rinnai Tankless Water Heaters. Meet the all-new Rinnai Sensei Tankless Water Heater, offering an endless supply of hot water, significant energy savings, and Wi-Fi monitoring. Visit tanklessismore.com to see why tank less is more.
I had a brief moment of surprise yesterday, and then it faded into the predictable sense of ennui about the NFL. Can I tell you about my brief moment of surprise?
I would like to hear about it.
I had a very brief moment of surprise when I read the headlines. And again, we were out at Mullins last night in Lyle and had a good time. So I was, with the audio of things, I was just kind of out of the loop. Mm-hmm. So I was essentially reading it like one does out on a bar crawl, essentially. I was reading the crawl on the bottom line of every screen. And I saw that the Dolphins had enacted a suspension policy for those of their players who decided to protest during the national anthem. They were going to suspend them up to 4 games. And I was surprised for a moment. And I'll tell you why I was surprised. Not because a franchise was going to enact some sort of suspension. Not because of the connection between players or team or because it was the Dolphins or anything. I was surprised that any team would want to put that down in writing.
It's back to what we were talking about in transition.
I was shocked.
Not just put it down in writing, but then somehow leak it. That why you'd want it out, why you would not think that you would get the predictable response, which was across the board, Jameis Winston 3 games for sexual assault.
3 games. Three.
Jameis Winston, 3 games for sexual assault, potentially 4 games for wanting to protest violence.
It's bizarre to me. It's absolutely bizarre. And that was the brief moment I was shocked, because a couple hours later, I think it was 5 in total it took from that leak from the Associated Press via the whomever insider at the Dolphins let everybody know, that the AP know, that this was in the sanctions or the rules, whatever the NFL... Whatever the teams have to submit to the NFL about their individual discipline policies, that's how the Dolphins set it down there. That got leaked out. The excuses for putting that in the document got leaked out. All this stuff about, well, of course, they just want to put down the maximum amount of allowable games. That way, it gives the Dolphins leeway to do whatever they want with that punishment. If they have the most possible punishment in there,
then they'll look lenient
when they scale it back. Yeah. That's a whole load of crap, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course it is.
It's a whole load.
What they did was they used the actual collectively bargained language for what technically constitutes conduct detrimental.
Right.
Which already is a reach.
No, for me...
How can you possibly say, when you had the team that won the Super Bowl, I mean, it's so difficult for you to frame that as detrimental conduct to your team just because it makes ownership uncomfortable or itchy, or it makes a certain angry, dumb segment of your fandom even angrier and dumber. That's not conduct detrimental because you had protests going on the Super Bowl champion.
In fact, if you're going to make an argument that a clubhouse culture, that a binding, you know, intangible thing in whether it's baseball, as front offices start to look for what creates chemistry, or football or whatever, I think you've got a fairly decent argument that doing the kind of things that many of the Eagles did over the season brought them closer together. It's the same kind of fuzzy, intangible logic, isn't it? Is the same kind of fungible stuff.
And then they say,
it doesn't matter how you arrive at everybody's pulling at the same rope. It just matters that the rope is, you know, directly opposed to a championship. You're pulling for it.
They can bind over whatever they want. They can unite and they can pull for each other over whatever they want, no matter whom it might discomfort. And here you have the Players Association and the league now saying, all right, forget it. Everything we said, no. Now we're going to pretend to listen to the players. We're not really going to listen to the players.
No.
But we're going to make it look like we actually care what players think before we come out with the latest version of a policy that is going to be misguided, underthought, and ill-informed.
They are like children in a cul-de-sac, making up a brand new game for the neighborhood, mm-hmm. realizing that they have stumbled across some aspect of the game that makes it completely untenable, and just Phil at the end of the block, who's the biggest and strongest, he's going to win everything because we made the rules wrong. And everybody goes, okay, we're going to take that back. Takesy-backsies. This is not the thing we're going to do. We were wrong, and we're going to walk all of this back. The thing is, the kids in the cul-de-sac, they just get to play another game. They just get to walk out there and do it. There are no consequences.
Do kids still do that?
I hope so.
I do too.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
Some of my favorite favorite Calvin and Hobbes strips were Calvin Ball.
Yes.
And the
stumbled
ongoing,
into the perimeter of wisdom. Hobbes, run!
The arbitrary and capricious joy of making up rules to a game on the fly. That I know that the movie Basketball years ago.
That's a terrific movie. Yeah.
I genuinely hope people are. It was one of my favorite things to do, even through college. Whether it was a drinking game not, the number of different components, it's like, okay, well, if you won the speed quarters round,
right,
you move on to the hallway floor hockey round.
Obviously. I mean, it's the only logical procedure.
Of course. Yeah. And one guy on our hallway is a backup shortstop of the Duke baseball team, the real baseball team.
Not
the club team that somebody was playing for. He was, I mean, a real athlete. Also a kicker and punter on the football team. This is an athlete named Winker. And he would play goalie with floor hockey just with his glove. I mean, he was big, you know, about 6'2".
Yeah.
And his hands were so fast that he didn't need a stick. He didn't need any other equipment. And if you could score a goal on him, it was a major achievement.
We invented drinking. We lived in a house with like 7 guys in college. And I was on the crew team my freshman year, left after that year. But I still lived with a bunch of crew guys. And they always tried to put endurance challenges into the drinking games. And that's where we had the same thing come up. Like, no, Hans, you can't do that. You can't do that. No one else can run 7 miles after drinking all of that. It's impossible. Don't do it. You're making bad rules. Just have to some way work around the athletes in your life.
It makes it difficult when somebody's just better at something.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you're not allowed to participate.
It's like the Tsar leading up to World War I making an arms agreement. Like, no. No one's going to... No one gets automatic weapons. We can't do that because we can't make them ourselves. We can't do this.
Right. These are right out.
because we don't have five. Them. We do have Jonah Carey, who is going to join us in a few moments. Looking forward to this. It's a great time for national baseball conversation because of the pause that we get at the All-Star break and the Cubs and Cardinals, the only teams in action last night with everybody getting back to work in earnest. What's going on with Mike Trout? What is happening with the Manny Machado deal? There is a lot to discuss with one of the smartest baseball minds out there, and you will hear from him. Jonah Carey joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show next. So keep it here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.